Atlanta Life Radio Station, WALR, bringing you the best in talk radio.
Episode of There Is Life After Layoff Radio. I'm Allie, your host, and it is always a pleasure to be your guide as I continue to follow this path in my journey of rediscovery and empowerment after being laid off. Now, remember that I'm not here to point fingers at or to place the blame on my former employers or colleagues, but what I am here to do is to face my own truths as I continue to grow professionally and spiritually while walking in my life's purpose. Now, along with the support of my contributing co-hosts and special guests who help to guide the conversation, our goal is to then encourage and empower you to explore new and inspiring opportunities to either discover or rediscover and walk in your life's purpose. Now, the goal is that together we will support one another through this journey. So that is why I invite you to join in on the conversation with us every Tuesday evening from 7 to 8 p.m. through the Atlanta Life Radio website at www.atlantaliferadio.com. And please continue to follow me on my blog at www.thereislifeafterlayoff.com. And as always, if you wish to contact me directly, you can do that via email at thereislifeafterlayoff@gmail.com. And also remember to connect and follow us on social media. You'll find me on Twitter at AllieWard45, and you can follow Atlanta Life Radio on Twitter at ALR Radio. And I'm also on Instagram at #AllieWard45, and on Pinterest you'll find me at AllieWard65. And also remember to like us on Facebook by searching for at There Is Life After Layoff, and you can find Atlanta Life Radio on Facebook at Atlanta Life Radio Station WALR. So on behalf of myself and the entire There Is Life After Layoff radio team, we say thank you once again for listening and for joining us as we share with you our insights into issues related to not only the experience of being laid off, but also related to other life-altering events. Now, as always, I have a couple of quick reminders, and then we'll be ready to jump right into our show tonight. We always want to let you know how you can catch up on what you've missed. If you happen to miss a particular show, there are so many ways that you can do that. Of course, we have that wonderful, convenient, automatic player box that's located on the show scheduling page. That's on the AtlantaLifeRadio.com website. But then for those of you who are always on the go, we are also on iTunes, and we are now available on the mobile app Stitcher, which is a free downloadable app for your mobile device. And you can find us both on iTunes and Stitcher by searching for Atlanta Life Radio. And so there is absolutely no reason for you to miss out on any of the great programming that Atlanta Life Radio now offers. And so with that said, it is with great appreciation that I say thank you for continuing to not only tune into the live broadcast, but also for catching up on what you may have missed. Now, of course, you know this show only works because of you, our faithful listeners. You help to drive this show, and so we always want to hear from you. So with that said, we want you to be a part of tonight's conversation. We want you to call in, ask questions, make positive comments, and you can do that by calling 347-324-5246. And if you want to make a comment or ask a question, make sure that you press the number 1. Now, if you just want to listen to the show, all you have to do is just call that number, but you don't need to press the number 1. And we will begin taking those calls right after our break at around 7:30. And we do look forward to hearing from you. And so, of course, we're ready to get started. And I'm super, super excited this evening because tonight is the continuation of our There Is Life After Layoff financial series with my special guest co-host, the Money Mender herself, world-renowned financial expert, author, motivational speaker, and financial coach, Ms. Carol Hunter. And we will all introduced to her back in April when I had the awesome opportunity of interviewing her here on the show. And based on her appearance and the great connection that we had, came the inspiration for the financial series. And so it is certainly without further ado that it is my pleasure to welcome to There Is Life After Layoff my special guest co-host for the financial series, Ms. Carol Hunter. Carol, thank you for joining me again this evening.
Thank you, Allie, for having me, and thank you for everyone that decided to come back and receive more great information tonight. And so I'm super excited.
Yes, absolutely. I know you're going to share a lot of great information. I'm ready to take notes myself. So, and, of course, you know, I know how to stay in my lane, and so I am going to allow you to do what you do best. And so you will primarily be in the driver's seat this evening. But, of course, before we get started, I always like to have our co-hosts or guests to, you know, briefly share with our listeners a little bit about who you are and your credentials as a financial expert, and then share with them the purpose of the financial series and why we're doing this.
Okay, sure, Allie. I'll give you the short version tonight.
Okay.
Of course. I am the Money Mender, and I am a money strategist, and I work with professional, educated, ambitious women and a few men who have broken finances that need to be mended on some level. And broken finances can be anything from needing to restore your life after a layoff. It could be your credit. It could be that you want to learn how to accumulate wealth. It could be that you have not prepared enough money for retirement at this age. So whatever that is, I help you mend those broken finances and achieve freedom with confidence. And I support my clients and participants through my coaching programs, through my live events, and through my books and tapes and speaking engagements. And so the bottom line is financial freedom for anyone who desires to do that. And my audience, again, is predominantly women.
Okay, awesome. So thank you for explaining the who, what, where, and why of all of that and why we're here doing this. And again, thank you for agreeing to be my co-host and sharing your expertise with our listeners. And so are you ready to get started?
I am so ready.
All right. So, you know, in the first episode, you spoke to our listeners about how they can prepare for the comeback, okay? And tonight's topic is appropriately titled then, First Things First. So can you explain exactly what does that mean? What are you telling them to do when you tell them to prepare for First Things First?
Well, first things first means you've got to have a reality check about what's really going on, what really happened, and then you got to say, okay, this is my reality. What is the first thing that I need to do? And so tonight I am going to tell you what that first thing is, because so many times, especially after a layoff or if you've been terminated from your job, you're so emotionally stressed out that you don't know A from B, left from right, up from down. And so we get busy doing all kinds of things, and we start listening to what they say, and this person said this, and we don't step back and say, okay, what is the first thing that I need to do? And I'm talking about in particular from a financial perspective. What is the first thing that I need to do to get myself back on track? And that's what we're going to tackle tonight.
Okay. And, you know, also, we in the first episode where we were talking about preparing for the comeback, I think it's important that we also need to point this out. What is that thing that often happens to an individual who may have been impacted by a life-altering event such as a layoff? What is it, some of those things that can happen to those people?
Allie, you're so right. That is so important. And first of all, you know, when one has encountered a layoff or a life-altering situation, the reality is life tends to just slow down or stop for various reasons. You know, all of us handle stress in different ways.
Right.
Some people can work through stress and you don't really even know they're going through it, and other people fall apart and stay in the bed and don't open the blinds and keep their head under the cover. Some people take Xanax and need to see a therapist. So all of us cope differently, and that's very normal. But
right.
At some point in that process, one has to realize that they have to start rebuilding their life after they have been laid off to restore their financial stability. So, you know, the emotional challenges that you're going to face, they're normal, you're human, embarrassment, shame, credit addiction, all of those things, you know, those things happen. But at some point, you got to say, okay, I got to get my act together.
Right, right. So you just got to pretty much, you know, make that decision, you know, within yourself to kind of keep it moving and not get stuck in the negative impact of you know, whatever the situation is, and keep it moving forward.
Absolutely.
Right. So what then can an individual do to assist them with being able to restore their financial stability?
Well, I have some great information that's
all right,
going to
I'm
help
ready
us
for
out
it.
Tonight.
Got
so,
my
so as the young people say, get ready for it because
right.
it's coming. And so as we talk about first things first tonight, that first thing that one has to do is create a new financial spending plan. And I'm going to give some suggestions that I know work. These are not things that I think you should try. These are steps that I know will work if you work them. And so the first thing, and this may be the first time many of you that are listening have ever created a spending plan. Some people know it as a budget. But, again, let me tell you quickly why I don't like the word budget. When people hear the word budget, most of the time they think I can't spend, it's rigid, I don't want to do it. If you're married, it's going to create arguments because one person or the other person is not going to want to stay on the budget.
Mm-hmm.
So I choose to use the term spending plan because the root word to that is spend. So if we were to give it a definition, like in simplicity, in simple terms, it would be, this is my plan for spending the money that I have. What is a spending plan? It gives me the opportunity to spend the money that I have. So for me, that automatically means there's going to be some discipline involved because if I have a plan in place, that's going to guide me on what I'm supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of the first things you have to do when you're creating a spending plan, Allie, is determine how much consistent income or financial assistance you have available. And note that I said financial assistance because when a person has been laid off or terminated or had some other life-altering situation and they no longer have the money that they had before this situation happened, they may be getting financial assistance from somewhere. It could be anything from unemployment. It could be your parents are giving you money. It could be, you know, food stamps or, you know, whatever your situation is. You know, some people have to go to the extreme when this happens to them. And, you know, that's a very, very humbling experience, but it's a reality. But at the bottom line, before you can really get your life back on track, you got to determine how much you're working with.
Okay. Okay. That makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I love what you said about using the term spending plan because it's almost like when you say tell somebody to diet, you know, it's almost like you know that you're setting yourself up for failure. It's like a psychological thing because with a diet, you think that you're going to deprive yourself. And so when you say budget versus spending plan, it's almost like the same effect. So I love that. So, okay. So
absolutely.
So moving on to the next one.
Yes, and before I say number two, I just want to say the root word to diet is die. So that's why most people feel like they're going to die when they can't eat what they want to because they're on a diet.
Yes.
But number two, I just thought I'd throw that little nugget in there, Allie. But
very
number
good.
Two is when you're creating a spending plan, you got to make a list of every financial obligation that you have, even if they are not being paid. Oftentimes people will say to me when I'm working with them, well, I don't even really see the reason that I'm doing this spending plan because I'm not paying the people anyway.
Mm.
Okay, that's good. However, you owe them.
Right.
So when we get your finances in order and get you stabilized, you're going to be paying them. And so what we're doing is the legwork. So when you've been laid off, oftentimes somebody doesn't get paid.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're working with a spending plan, you know, worst case scenario, you'll be able to look at that spending plan because you have it in order and say, I cannot pay you $100 today, but I know on this date I will be able to send you $50.
Gotcha.
Can you work with that? But if you don't have a spending plan, you are not even in a position to have that conversation. Thus, you ignore the phone calls and let them go to voicemail.
Right. So in your opinion, your professional opinion, it's wouldn't you say that communication with creditors is the key? Because 9 times out of 10, I think that they would, you know, they're more apt to want to work with you than and receive some form of payment rather than not?
Absolutely. I mean, I would say over 90% of creditors will accept, especially in the season that we're in. Now, when the economy is really strong, they come across more like the bulldog, but even companies, you know, their budgets are tight. Their bottom lines are tight. So if you can make something, because they know that people are still recovering from the recession,
right,
and everything else that follows that, so, you know, they soften their approach a little bit, but it also says to them, okay, I know their situation has changed and their money is different, but they are still on top of what they do have, so I'm going to work with them.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. Makes sense. So communication, it's almost like, you know, people don't know what you're going through unless you tell them. And so, you know, share that with them. And like you said, 9 times out of 10, you know, you just hope that you're dealing with a company who has a little bit of compassion for the situation, you know?
Yes, and always communicate in writing because you never know if you're talking to the customer service person that's quitting that day.
Good point.
You know, if they don't make notes in the system.
Oh, wow, that's a good one.
Yeah, and you call back and you say, well, I talked to Sherry. And they're like, well, honey, Sherry's been gone for a month, and there's no notes in the system. Well, now, all that's going to do, Allie, is frustrate you.
Yeah, yeah, that's a good point. That is a really good point. I didn't even think about that.
Yes, communicate in writing, and as often as possible, speak to a manager. Because, again, no offense to anybody in customer service, but customer service representatives typically don't have decision-making authority.
Exactly.
Their authority is limited. So you're already emotionally strained, usually, in this case. You don't want to have to explain that 2 times.
Mm-hmm.
Because all that's going to do is raise your stress level, and those four-letter expletives may start flowing out of your mouth, not because you use them, but because your stress level has sent you there.
Right. You know, I learned that from my husband because he used to work with a credit bureau, and so he, and you know, has learned to talk that lingo and what have you.
Mm-hmm.
And he taught me, he's, you know, whenever he couldn't get something, you know, rectified or whatever, can I speak to a manager, please? And I'm like, okay, I'm going to start using that. And he usually gets what he wants, you know, but he's very calm and, you know, and just ask, can I speak to someone who can help me? Because obviously you can't, so let me speak to the next person in charge over you.
Absolutely, because it's either the customer service people either have something that's scripted or they're reading from a manual. We know that from our wonderful cell phone carriers. They're reading a book. They're reading a manual, and they're looking in the table of contents to find out what your problem is.
Right. Okay. Very good point. Good information. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. What's the next?
Okay. So the third thing that we want to do with creating the spending plan is we want to list all of the financial obligations from point number 2. We want to list them in order based on necessity and the consequences for non-payment.
So you've
got to be able to know what's what, who's who, and how they're going to respond. Because let's say that you're listing them in priority order, but you have one that you think may not be so much of a priority because of either the amount or the interest rate or whatever.
Okay.
But when you read the fine print for that creditor and they tell you if you miss this many payments, we're going to initiate the collection, we're going to file a judgment, we're going to garnish you.
Okay,
those consequences are higher
than
say your, and no offense again to the dentist or the doctors that may be on the call. Your doctor's office doesn't typically get that aggressive quickly.
Right, gotcha.
But your credit card companies, your car dealership, places like that, they want their money. They don't care what. They don't care if your house burned down. They don't care what happened. They're like, give me my money.
Right, right.
And so when you're listing your creditors in priority order, you got to keep in mind who's going to give me the most problem and who's going to put things on my credit report the fastest. And in terms of getting them together, they need to be at the top of my list so I can have conversations and or figure out a way to send them some money to keep them at bay.
Right. That's a good point. I never even thought about that. So, you know, your priority then is going to be to make sure that you either communicate with those folks first and try to get them payment, you know, versus, like you said, that ones who you can probably keep at bay a little bit, you know, longer
mm-hmm.
and are a little bit more patient and waiting for their money or what have you. That's interesting. Good point. Thank
mm-hmm.
you for that.
You're welcome. Okay, so number four. So now what are you going to do with this list? And, you know, some of you listening may be saying, okay, this seems like a whole lot of work going into a spending plan.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's all a matter of perspective because, again, if you have never had any personal financial literacy training or education and have never had anybody to teach you money management 101, you know, this may sound laborious and cumbersome, but this is what people do to have financial freedom in their life and financial stability. They have a plan that works. So number four is you have to assess your list to determine your needs versus your desires.
That is so key right here.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. When you've been laid off, desires take a back seat.
Yeah, yeah.
They do, because if you no longer have that income that was coming in, and you are trying to figure out how to keep a roof over your head and keep lights in your house and your water on, food on your table, and gas on your car and your internet service on, you cannot have the entire premium package for cable TV. So if your internet is connected to your cable, you will need to speak to your carrier to downsize your services. You may say, well, I'm under contract. You need to talk to a manager and let them know what's going on so that you can ask them for a temporary adjustment to your contract without penalties.
Okay.
See, we don't know how to engage our creditors because we don't spend enough time getting financially literate so that when life happens, because it's going to happen in one way or another before you leave this planet.
Right.
So that when life happens, you know how to handle the life that's happening around you.
Right, right. And you know what? This number four is so key. I can, you know, recall when I got laid off, there were some things that I would do for myself on a regular basis that I knew were desires or just things that I did, you know, as a treat to myself or what have you, but mm-hmm. I had to make some sacrifices, and I was okay with that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I stopped, you know, going to get my nails done and, as you know, every 2 weeks, what have you, and, you know, I started doing my own nails, just little things like that, but it makes a difference because if you're spending $40 a pop, you know, that adds up. And,
absolutely.
You know, I just started looking at all that stuff, and I'm okay with not doing that. You know, and then when the money is there, then if I can't treat myself, then so be it. So, you know, that's the one of those, like you said, it's all boils down to choices. And another thing is I condition myself to not being what I call an IB. I call that an impulse buyer.
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of people in the world that are impulse buyers. And my thing is, if I have to stand there and I'll think about it for a second, and generally something will come to me and say, you know what, you don't need that, and then I'll walk away.
Mm-hmm.
But I always give myself a moment to think, you know, do I really need this, or is this something I just want?
Absolutely. And you know what, you know, when you least expect it, it'll be there for you, that thing that you want, you know. It happens all the time, and they'll be having, like, a clearance sale where
nice.
You're shipping it out, and it's, like, $400 off, or it's $50 off of something that was $100, you know, depending on what it costs.
Right.
You're getting it for almost nothing in comparison to what the original price tag was.
Right, right.
So you're
right.
So right. It's just worth the wait, and if it's worth having, it's worth waiting for.
Absolutely. And my husband and I, we are very big sticklers on using cash versus credit.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if you don't have the money at the time, then just wait till you have the money. So, you know, we don't rack up credit card bills and, you know. You know, that's another thing, but that takes discipline. I mean, at one point in time, I actually froze my credit card. I put it in the freezer. I put it in in a baggie in some water, and I froze it. So I wouldn't use it.
Yes.
And if that's what it takes, that's what you need to do.
That's, yes. Is that I've had several clients to do that, and, you know, it's whatever it takes. And when you can't spend like you normally did or want to, you just have to keep telling yourself, this is for a season. This is temporary.
Yeah,
this is not forever. So
absolutely.
You can't see it as the end of the road for you. It's like my life just happened, and so while it's happening, I got to learn how to live differently.
Absolutely, absolutely. Mm-hmm. You know, it like the word says, this too shall pass, you know.
Absolutely.
It's just a season that you're going through, and it will get better. You know, new opportunities come, and, you know, as I continue to pursue business, you know, other opportunities have opened up, and doors have opened up, windows have opened up that I didn't have before, so things have lightened and gotten better, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, but patience. So, you know what, right now I think what we'll do, let's wind down and take a short station break, and then when we return we'll continue with our subject matter, and if we have any callers, and I believe we may even have a question for Ask Carol, so just hang in there with me for a minute, and we will return as we talk about First Things First with financial expert Carol Hunter. I'm Allie, your host. And you are listening to There Is Life After Layoff. We'll be right back.
Failure is not final. Your life is not through. Now with your testimony, God can use you to.
Hey, this is executive producer Mel D, and on behalf of the Atlanta Life Radio team, we thank all of our faithful listeners. If this is your first time tuning in, we thank you. Share us with your friends, like us on Facebook, and please come back. A special thank you to all of our financial sponsors, because without their financial support, this show would not be made possible. If you are interested in becoming a financial sponsor, or want to learn how to advertise with us, please send an email complete with your contact information to info@AtlantaLifeRadio.com. Again, please send us an email complete with your contact information to info@AtlantaLifeRadio.com. And now we return back to our program.
All right, we're back. If you're just joining us, welcome. You're listening to There Is Life After Layoff Radio at www.AtlantaLifeRadio.com. And I'm your host, Allie, and we encourage you to join us every Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m. And please continue to follow me on my blog at www.TheresLifeAfterLayoff.com. And if you want to be a part of tonight's conversation, it's not too late. You can reach us by calling 347-324-5246 and make sure that you press the number one to be added into our on-air host queue. Now, Carol, I think the last time we were on the financial series, we opened up an opportunity for some of our listeners to email their questions, because we realized that there may be someone who, for whatever reason, may be hesitant to call in, because, as you know, that this is a very sensitive subject for a lot of people, and, so, you know, some shame and some fear associated with it. So we created what we call Ask Carol. And so for those of you who have questions and you want to remain anonymous, you can get answers to your questions live on the air. All you have to do is just email your question to Ask Carol to thereislifeafterlayoff@gmail.com, and we will address your question on air with our financial expert. And I am happy to say that we do have an email from one of our listeners, Carol, who has a financial question for you to address. So, and it's kind of maybe two or three little small questions in her email. So I'm going to go ahead and ask the question, and you can address it for her, okay?
Okay, sure.
She says, I have a 401k, and I did a partial withdrawal, and the penalty, of course, was crazy and very high, and the taxes were ridiculous. And her question is, why are these penalties so high, given that it is her own money? So that's her first question.
Okay. Well, first of all, when you contribute to a 401k, that is what we call pre-tax dollars. So that money has never been taxed. So while it is your choice to put money into a 401k to save for retirement, the IRS is not going to allow you, based on IRS laws, to withdraw any of that money before age 59 and a half without paying some taxes. And so regarding the taxes, you are going to pay approximately 20% in federal taxes when it is withdrawn. If you live in a state like Georgia, where you are, Allie, there's also going to be state taxes. So there's going to be another 6% that comes out for state taxes. Then when you file your taxes, the IRS is going to assess an additional 10% penalty to you when you file your taxes because you were not 59 and a half years old. So, therefore, you were not in compliance with when you are supposed to take the money out to be taxed.
Wow. Woo-wee. Uncle Sam's going to get their money either way, huh?
Yes, they are going to get their money.
Wow, okay. So then her next part of her question is, why are there penalties for emergencies like death in the family or saving your home from foreclosure?
Because, if you're not age 59 and a half, that's how the IRS code is written for a 401k plan,
okay,
or any type of tax-deferred plan that falls up under the IRS statute in that category. So that is the law.
Okay.
And so the law doesn't care what you're taking the money out for. What the law is looking at is how old are you when you withdraw the money.
Okay. Now, correct me if I'm wrong from a tax standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
In some instances, in doing taxes, if you have had a withdrawal from a 401k, and they'll come back and they'll ask you, well, what did you use that money for? So if there is a situation like with health, you know, if you use it for medical or something like that, isn't there some type of way that they can help try to reduce that penalty if you use it for those type of situations?
Well, that's kind of all depending on how your company sets your plan up.
Okay.
Because in some cases, you're not able to withdraw it at all. Some companies don't let you ever withdraw from it. Some companies let you take a loan against it versus doing an actual withdrawal, and then you pay it back. Okay, the tax consequences are going to be different for that. So at the end of the day, it's going to depend on how your plan is administered through your employer.
Gotcha.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then the last part of her question is she says if she has to withdraw, say, $10,000 and she doesn't have the taxes taken out and she has no income coming in when tax time rolls around, how is that handled, and is she at risk for a tax lien?
Well, first of all, it's not going to be withdrawn without taxes taken out unless it's a company plan that allows you to do it as a loan, and there's
right.
some type of provision in there where it's truly treated as a loan. But
okay.
if you were making an outright withdrawal, and, of course, there's not going to be any payback to it,
mm-hmm.
then you are going to receive a tax hit on the front end, which is about 20%. Mm-hmm. And then again, you're going to hit a tax, you're going to get the penalty on your tax return. If you are not able, if you end up owing money at the end when they give you that extra 10% tax, mm-hmm. and you owe the IRS money, they may not put a lien on you right away. You used to get a tax lien for non-payment. So they're going to give you the opportunity to set up a payment plan.
Okay.
And they're going to give you an opportunity to work through that. But if you fail to pay them the money that you owe them and don't set up a payment plan and don't honor the obligation, then, yes, they can initiate a tax lien. And, you know, the IRS has the power to take money out of your bank account.
Yep. Yep.
So you really don't want to play with them. Unfortunately, they are the most powerful entity in the country. They they seize and take over and, you know.
Yeah,
I used to be an IRS agent. And I didn't last very long. That was my very first job out of college. I did an internship.
Wow.
I wasn't cut out for that. I have too much compassion.
Wow.
I wasn't cut out for that type of work. Mm-hmm.
Wow. And then finally, she says, how often can you withdraw from your 401k in a period of time?
Again, that's going to depend on their plan.
Mm-hmm.
You know, every company is different. Some people, you know, you can have multiple times. Some people allow one time. Some people don't allow it at all. Some people may allow one withdrawal, one loan. So, again, hopefully the listener is listening. He or she needs to pull their 401k plan, go to their human resources office, and get specifics on how their plan works so they'll know on the front end what the tax consequences are going to be.
Right. Okay. All right, that's good information. So I'm hoping that the listener is listening and got all of that. That was a great question because I know somebody out there who may have been impacted by a layoff and maybe had to go into their 401k, you know, to
mm-hmm.
help make ends meet. So those were great questions. So thank you for emailing your question to us. And keep them coming. Like I said, you can remain anonymous. All you have to do is just send your question or comments to askcarol@thereislifeafterlayoff@gmail.com. So thank you, Carol, for addressing that for our listeners.
No problem, because so many people going through a layoff face that, and that's a huge decision when, especially if you don't have a lot of money in your 401k, and now you're like, I got to not only start my life over, now I got to start my retirement over. So that just adds to the stress.
Absolutely, absolutely. So, you know, but before the break, you were giving us suggestions and expounding on the steps that are needed for a person to create a financial spending plan. So
mm-hmm.
I'm going to turn it back over to you so we can pick up where we left off before the break.
Okay, sure. So we're going to go through the rest of these quickly. So number five, we're going to start with number five.
Mm-hmm.
So when creating a spending plan, if possible, load your income and expenses into an electronic spreadsheet like Excel or some other software for management and accountability purposes because, you know, your finances are usually kind of tight during this period of time. And so by having it in an electronic spreadsheet, as money comes in, you can add it. As money is being expended, you can subtract it. So on any given day of the week, you know how much money you're really working with.
Okay. Okay.
You don't want to just look at your bank account statement because things are in transit. You want
right.
to know, actually, all I have left after these checks clear is this, so I can't spend any more money.
Okay. Okay. Good, good, good. I know you can get jammed up real quick by relying on your bank statements because you sometimes don't realize that, you know, hey, I wrote that check for this or I you know,
mm-hmm.
took this out or whatever, like you said, because things are in transit. And
mm-hmm.
so, yeah, this is a great way to keep track of all of that. So thank you.
Absolutely.
All right.
Okay, the sixth one is once your spending plan is complete, now you need to schedule a family meeting because you've got to inform everybody of the revised spending strategy. And teamwork is necessary so you guys can remain afloat. Oftentimes, you know, children don't understand what's going on, but children understand more than we give them credit for.
Yeah, they do.
And, you know, if you're single, you know, you got to choose a trusted accountability partner to help you remain on track if you don't have self-discipline. But if you're married, husband and wife, first of all, you guys got to get on board, and you got to speak the same language and display the same type of character and discipline so that your children, because children will play you against each other. If they know mommy is over here still being a hyper-consumer, even though you don't have the money to hyper-consume, they're going to run to you when they want extra candy or whatever because daddy is being a stickler or vice versa. So you got to sit down and have this family discussion to let the family know something has shifted.
Right, right.
Because if the children don't know, they're going to assume that is business as normal in the household.
Right, right. Well, I, you know, my kids are old enough and at the age now where they understand. And I told them, you know, hey, the eating out and all of this and that, it's got to stop,
mm-hmm.
you know. And you just can't continue to do that. And the thing was is that you were wasting money. You know, I buy groceries and then they want to eat out. I'm like, are you kidding me? I just bought groceries. We're going to eat
mm-hmm.
what we got at the house, you know.
That's exactly right. And, you know, I always encourage you to invite your pets to a family meeting because if they go to, you know, PetSmart and get their grooming and whatever, they need to understand that they're going to get a bath outside in the backyard with the holes or whatever you choose to do with that in the bathtub. Everybody, every member of the family, because people treat their pets like members of the family.
Right.
Every member of the family needs to understand there is a change.
Exactly, exactly. So, you know, I just had to have those tough conversations. It's not that mommy is being mean. Mommy's being a realist, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You can't spend what you don't have, and I'm not going to just, that, you know, and then you end up throwing out more food than you eat, and
mm-hmm.
you wasted money. So, no, we're not doing that, you know. So, it's a hard conversation, and believe me, my kids love to eat out, but we stopped all of that.
Absolutely, absolutely, and plus it's healthier.
Absolutely, yeah, you're right about that. You're right about that because you don't know what you're getting these days. So.
That's so true, Allie, so
good
true.
Good points.
Okay, number seven, we just have two more.
Okay.
Number seven. So listen, and this may sting a little bit, but it's a true fact. So you've got to accept the fact that your income has decreased, which requires an immediate modification with your financial behavior.
Mm-hmm.
That is a reality that you must accept. It is not your destiny, but it
mm-hmm.
is your current reality. And so if you no longer make $75,000 a year, and you're getting, what, $400 a week from unemployment?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That is $1,600 a month when you possibly were making $1,600 a day or a week.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to know that whatever you were doing has to shift and adjust as well because you cannot squeeze blood out of a turnip, as
That's
they
right.
would say in olden days.
I remember my mom saying that.
You just can't. I mean, either it's there in the bank, and your credit card, if at all possible, should not become the alternative.
Right.
Yeah.
Right, right. That will get you in trouble so quickly, and that's why, I have one credit card for emergencies, and,
mm-hmm.
you know, we just don't use them, and I definitely don't do department store credit cards. I learned that
Mm-mm.
when I was young that those were dangerous. And, you know, I have the one, and I don't use it, you know, only for emergency purposes. So that was one good thing. But I love what you said when you said it's your reality but not your destiny.
Mm-hmm.
That is so powerful right there.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like you said earlier, it will pass. It'll get better.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Absolutely.
That's good.
Absolutely. And so I have one final one. I want to give you the eighth thing to consider and to think about with your spending plan. And it's this. You got to recognize that your spending plan is going to serve as your blueprint and your guide.
Mm.
I mean, it's kind of like when an architect starts to build a house. They need a blueprint. They need to know where the bathrooms are going to go and where the electrical outlets are going to be placed and if the garage is going to be on the front or the side entrance. You need a blueprint. That's what your spending plan does. It guides you. And as you diligently work to restore your income and communicate with your creditors, your spending plan is going to become like what I call your money Bible. Mm-hmm. It's your go-to source. It's like you go to your money Bible to decide if thou shalt spend or thou shalt not spend.
Oh, that's funny. That's a good one.
You know, you know, your money Bible is going to tell you, just like the Holy Bible tells you, there's 10 commandments in there. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal.
Right.
You know, likewise, that's what your spending plan is telling you. It's teaching you how to live financially comfortable wherever you are. So even when you restore your finances and restore your income, you still need to do this. I'm not talking about do this just because you're laid off. This is what you need to do for life. For the rest of your life, you need to have a spending plan.
Wow, that's so good. That was funny, though. That was right on time. Thou shalt not spend.
Yes.
But, you know, it takes discipline. It all boils down to discipline.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and do you want your situation to get better? And yes, these are those tough conversations that you may have to have within your family. But, you know, just assure them. And if you have kids and you're involving them and keeping them in the loop, just let them know, you know what, it's not always going to be like this. But if we all work together, like you said, teamwork makes the dream work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if we work together, then things will get better. But if you don't, then, hey, the consequences.
That's right.
To every choice you make, there are consequences. I tell my kids that all the time. Think about the choices that you make.
Mm-hmm.
You know, either you buckle down now so we can have later, or, you know, hey, it is what it is, you know, but
mm-hmm.
it is your reality. So thank you for that. Those are some very, very powerful action steps that can assist, you know, with restoring financial stability. So, you know, you've shared a lot of information this evening. So can you briefly just kind of sum up some of the main takeaway from tonight's topic, and then let us know what is the next episode title for the continuation of the financial series? And then I know that you have an upcoming program that you wanted to share with us.
Sure. Well, first of all, our next session together is going to be on August the 9th, and we're calling that Write It Down, Make It Plain.
Oh,
so that's going to be really good and juicy as well. Write It Down and Make It Plain. And, you know, for some of the takeaways from tonight's topic, I would say, first of all, you know, your financial life is not ever going to change if you fail to implement a spending plan.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want financial elevation again, it's up to you, because when you decide to do it, that's when it happens. And you got to remember that your spending plan is a strategic system. It's a strategy that's going to guide your financial decisions. And, again, it's that blueprint that helps you to remain disciplined. And then I want to make sure I tell you this, that a spending plan is your starting point for financial stability.
Mm.
And it allows you to have boundaries. And see, before your layoff, perhaps you didn't have any boundaries because you didn't have a spending plan. And when that life-altering situation happened, unfortunately, you may have been prepared because your spending plan wasn't guiding you when conditions were good. And so that's why I said earlier to make sure that you use one now as well as for the rest of your life. And, you know, I do have my six-month coaching program, speaking of elevation and discipline.
Mm-hmm.
My six-month coaching program is going to start in July. And, you know, as I said, the majority of people that I serve are women. And, of course, if you're a man and you want to participate, that's fine. But, you know, if you're that professional, ambitious, high-achieving woman with a desire for financial freedom and wealth accumulation and small business ownership, this program for you is for you, because we've got to learn how to master our money so that we can capitalize on these opportunities that are available for us to acquire financial freedom and own small businesses. And so if you're interested in learning more about the program and how it's going to work, you can send me an email And that's carol@themoneymender.com. carol@themoneymender.com. I want to invite you to a teleconference training that I'm going to have on Monday, June 27th. And so I want to give you information about that so that you can be on that call and hear the training that I'm going to do, and I'm going to expound on the program. Also, if you want to connect with me via social media, on Facebook, facebook.com/prosperityunlimited, the P and the U are capitalized. On Twitter, @IamCarolHunter. So I'm looking forward to hearing from you guys. So again, my email is carol@themoneymender.com.
Awesome, awesome. And I am definitely going to try to participate on that call or that training on the 27th. I will be on vacation, but I'm going to try to remember to put program that into my phone so I can at least listen to it on my iPad, you know, while I'm out and about. And so, again, if you're interested, contact her at carol@themoneymender.com. And follow her on social media. And you know what? Thank you so much, Carol, for joining me again as my co-host. And I am looking forward to the next episode because you've given me a lot of good information for moving forward and, you know, giving me a starting point, you know, for claiming financial stability and financial freedom. So thank you so much for that. And we definitely look forward to you being on the show with us once again on Tuesday, August 9th. So thank you so much, Carol.
Thank you for having me, Allie. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you. So you know what, as I'm always accustomed to doing, I want to take a moment to relate our show to Scripture. And tonight's topic, of course, you know, was about first things first. And interestingly enough, this led me to the book of Haggai, which is the second shortest book in the Old Testament. And it is probably one of those books that might get overlooked, but in this book, it actually communicates the same type of message about putting first things first. And so verses 3 through 7 reads, "Then the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai. Is it time for you yourselves to be living in your paneled houses while this house remains a ruin? Now this is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. You have planted much but harvested little. You eat but never have enough. You drink but never have your fill. You put on clothes but are not warm. You earn wages only to put them in a purse with holes in it. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways." And so that was very powerful to me. You know, Haggai the prophet, he spoke to people who had disobeyed God's instructions to rebuild his temple. And instead, they lived with misplaced priorities. They were supposed to rebuild God's temple first, but what they did was they put their own desire for comfortable homes ahead of their desire to complete the task that God had assigned to them. And as a result of their disobedience, the people started to struggle. And so we must learn from their mistake and learn how to prioritize God's work and respond quickly to the assignments that he gives us. And so although you may intend to do something, if you don't do it, then you're being disobedient. And good intentions will not get the job done. Only action will. And so, you know, Haggai was actually sent to God to help God's people get their priorities in line with what they knew they should be. So tonight, that relates very good to, you know, very closely to our topic, because Carol was sharing with us to put first things first. Start with the spending plan, which is the starting point for financial stability, and then move forward with claiming and living in financial freedom. So, you know, I hope that, you know, gives you a little bit of guidance. And go in and read the book of Haggai, because it really is profound. It's a short book, and it has a lot of meat in it. So on behalf of the There Is Life After Layoff radio team, we say thank you to each and every one of you for joining us on this journey, and we don't take it for granted that you have chosen to spend this time with us. We are going to be taking some time off during the month of July, but you know what? This is the perfect time for you to catch up on what you may have missed. And so until next time, which will be back in will be in August when we're back live on air, until next time, on behalf of Mel D and myself and the entire There Is Life After Layoff radio team, we say thank you for joining us, and we continue to urge you to be encouraged. And yes, although it may be hard to walk away from something, especially when you don't know what you're walking towards, just know that when God is in it, all things are possible and new. Continue to join us on this journey and take a leap of faith past the fear in your life. And know that the bigger the obstacle, the bigger the blessing. But most of all, remember, there is life after layoff. Thank you and good night.
Failure is not final. Your life is not through. Now with your testimony, God can use you too. If you didn't know the pain of life, wouldn't know the joy of life and how God always brings you through. No need for complaining, just look at this, it's just training to be ready, what God has for you. Tell yourself,
I'm not giving up.
No,
I'm not giving in.
In you, Lord, when your breakthrough will begin.
I'm not true.